one who was risen for our salvation, and the one who the grave could not hold him. He is our Lord, and he is our Master. He is our all in all, and we want to honor him this morning as the one who has paid the ultimate price that we can be brought into the family of God, and we can be sons and daughters, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at the Old Testament here this morning for some thoughts on the resurrection. If you want to turn with me to Leviticus chapter 9, and I'm going to be making some New Testament comparisons here too, mostly out of the book of Hebrews. Leviticus chapter 9, most of the, many of the types of the Old Testament apply to the New Testament believers and to the church, and this does too to a certain extent, but this chapter is primarily addressing the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ, and how it relates to us. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1, "And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel." Notice here it begins with the eighth day. The eighth day is the day of resurrection. The eighth day is the first day of the week when Christ rose from the dead, and it's the day that Christians gather to worship him and to celebrate his resurrection every week. And so it was on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons. And all these things have a lot of significance. The fact that he called Aaron, Moses is a type of the intercessor, and Aaron is a type of the mediator. In almost all cases, there's no one man that can fully portray Christ in all his aspects. And so we have Aaron here as the intercessor, and Moses as the intercessor, and Aaron as the mediator, the one who actually offered the sacrifices and offerings. Moses is the man who said, if you're going to destroy these people, then blot my name out of the book. And so he interceded on behalf of the people of Israel. And he continues to intercede for us yet today. On the basis of his shed blood, he intercedes for our souls. And so going now back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, I think what we see here in the types is fulfilled, and the book of Hebrews often brings that out. In Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood." Remember, he said to bring Aaron and his sons. Now, the sons of Aaron were the priests, and the priests of the Old Testament are a type of the New Testament Christian. And so here he says now, "Children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." And the brethren that he's talking about here are believers, those who have come to trust in the Lord for their salvation, those who are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, those who have been received into the family of God by adoption. They are these brethren that he's talking about here. So behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Aaron was the high priest, and Aaron was the one who was the mediator. He's the one who brought the sacrifices and offerings. And so he is made like this faithful high priest, like Aaron, in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And we'll notice here in Leviticus 9 that there's three or four different types of offerings given on this day that symbolize the different aspects of Christ's offering as they made atonement for the sins of the people. And so here in the New Testament sense, he is our faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. All right, maybe I should talking more about the sons of Aaron and about the elders of Israel there in verse 1. He says that he was to bring Aaron was to bring his sons and the elders of Israel on this eighth day, and they were to be witnesses or participants in the sacrifices that were made. I think the elders of Israel represent the apostles, the disciples who were present and who witnessed also the crucifixion and the resurrection, specifically mentioned in the New Testament. Back in Hebrews 10 again, or Hebrews 2, verse 10. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For he hath, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." And so bringing many sons into glory, it was through his suffering that we are sanctified, and we are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." And that is the significance of the resurrection. That is what we have come to celebrate here this morning. And that's the one that we have come to worship, and the one that we come to worship every Lord's Day morning, based on what he has done for us, that he has brought many sons into glory, and that he has, that we are his children because of what he's done for us. All right, now we'll continue reading here in Leviticus 9. "And he said unto Aaron, Take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, Take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering." And so we have these different kinds of offerings that were offered, and I don't have time to explain what they all involved. But in verse 4 then he says, "And also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings." And the peace offering is explained in Leviticus, the third chapter. And the peace offering is the one where the person who sinned actually brings the animal to the altar, lays his hand on the animal, and pronounces his sins or confesses his sins, and then actually takes the knife and cuts the throat. Kills the animal. The person who committed the sin is responsible for the death. And that is what we have done. That is why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross because of our sins. It was because we were guilty that he had to die. Not because he did anything wrong. He was innocent. Just like this animal for the peace offering was innocent. It had done no wrong. But it had to die because of the sins of the one who laid his hands on it. And so we are responsible. And yet, it demonstrates the tremendous love that God had for us, that he would allow his son to endure those things on our behalf, the innocent dying for the guilty. And so that puts us in a position of tremendous responsibility, and also a position of tremendous praise and thanks, and to bring glory to his name because of what he's done for us. Otherwise, we would be without hope. There would be no hope for us at all. And so they brought this bullock and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering, and mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. Today, on the eighth day, the Lord will appear unto you. How many times did Jesus appear to the people on the day of his resurrection? Wasn't it like three times? First of all, to Mary there in the garden, and then to the two men on the way to Emmaus, then again to all the disciples and those who were with them gathered in the upper room when he came through locked doors that night and spent the whole night explaining to them from the scripture why he needed to suffer. And no doubt he came right back here to Leviticus 9 and told them, this is what it means. No doubt he did. Using the Old Testament scriptures, he explained to them why it was necessary. And then it made sense to them. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. All the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye shall do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And what a glorious day it was. That morning when one of the Gospels says, while it was yet dark, or as the day was dawning, the sun was coming up, he appeared there. And the guards that had been set to guard the tomb, they fell down. They became as dead men. And the tremendous power of the resurrection, no one could stop it, and no one could refute it. And the church was born there that day, and continues to go forward. The glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering, thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the Lord, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, and which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped the finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. And so the sons brought the blood to Aaron, who was the mediator, and he dipped his finger in that blood and put the blood on the horns of the altar, the horns representing power, the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood to save all those who come to him in faith. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering that he burned upon the altar as the Lord commanded Moses, and the flesh and the hide he burned with fire without the camp. And that's where then we have in Hebrews the 13th chapter, he talks about that, and he uses it as a challenge for us. There were certain things that they were to do with certain parts of the sacrifice, and the skin and the inward parts, the stomach and the things that were not to be burned on the altar were taken outside the camp and burned out there. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, he talks about that in verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now that brings it right down to where we live today. You know, there's a lot of people that are gathered this morning to hail the resurrection of Christ. And many who are professing Christianity, many who don't go to church any other day, maybe besides on Easter, and they go there many go there to simply show off their new clothes and to, let God be the judge, you know, why we come and why they come. But are we willing to identify with our Lord in such a way that we're willing and ready to go with him without the camp, bearing his reproach, the reproach of Christ? Many who claim to be Christians today know nothing of that reproach. And many who claim to be Christians, if not most, look more like the harlot than like the true bride of Christ. And so that's a challenge to us. Are we willing to bear his reproach, go without the camp to that unpopular place, and represent Christ the way he was truly intended to be represented, a life of sacrifice and service? Just the way he lived for us, we should live for him. In verse 12, Leviticus 9, "And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar." Now this is the burnt offering, which was to be handled differently than the peace offering. Verse 14, "And he did wash the inwards and the legs, and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar." And I think it's significant here that he mentions that these inward parts are to be washed. And it has reference to paying attention to the Word of God, doing it exactly the way God said it should be. And how many times on the day of his crucifixion was it mentioned that the scripture be fulfilled? And he especially took pains to make sure that things were done in such a way that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And in the 15th chapter of John, he talks about how that he does the Father's commands, and how that we also then, it's a washing of water by the word. "And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering of the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering and took an handful thereof and burned it upon the altar beside the burnt offering of the morning," burnt sacrifice. Now this meat offering that he's talking about here is not meat like we think of meat today. It's in the scripture. Often meat is used to, when speaking of some type of grain. And so this meat offering was a handful of grain. It was some type of grain. And this is used to symbolize fruitfulness. The Feast of the First Fruits involved bringing in grain and doing certain things with it. And so this is also has the same type of meaning. And it's talking about our testimony, our fruitfulness, what our response to what the Lord has done for us. And it's like Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That's his meat. And I think we see that fulfilled here, this type fulfilled in the fact that Jesus came to do the will of the Father and to finish his work, which of course ultimately, finally, was to give his life on the cross. And it was to be burnt alongside the offering, the burnt offering. And you can understand the implications there. Verse 18, "He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, that which covered the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breasts, and he burnt the fat upon the altar." Now this is talking about the inward parts of the animal were to be burned on the altar. The remnant was to be taken outside the camp and burned outside the camp. And it's talking about the inward suffering of Christ, that which took place before he ever went to the cross. And we read about that in Luke, the 22nd chapter, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus went out there and he said, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You know, if it were possible, this cup can be removed from me." You know, that was what he preferred. But if not, your will be done. And there it says that he sweat those drops as they were great drops of blood in his agony there in the garden. And it's symbolized here in taking the inward parts and burning them on the altar. Verse 21, "In the breasts and the right shoulder, Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded." And what did Jesus say? A wave offering is something that they took out. Here they took the breasts and the right shoulder, which is typical of strength. It's the muscle part of the animal. And he took it and he waved it before the people. And Jesus says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And that happened when he was hanging there on the cross, a wave offering before the Lord for all to see. "And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." Here I believe that Moses and Aaron are representing the old and new dispensation. The law came by Moses. And Aaron is representing Christ as our intercessor, who is today seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. "The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people." And as we think about the resurrection morning and all the events of that day, right on through into the night, how that Jesus revealed himself in such tremendous, miraculous ways, all to the glory of God, how the people were in awe. "And there came fire. Came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar and burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Just like those guards there that were guarding the tomb, they fell on their face. They fell as dead men. And the whole world, you know, the graves were opened, and people that had died were seen in the city. And there was an earthquake, and there was all kinds of things that happened there at the death of Christ and at his resurrection, tremendous miracles and tremendous confirmations that he truly is the Son of God, not was, but is. And he is alive today, and he's there, our intercessor, as Aaron was a type of him in the Old Testament. So we have now the fulfillment, the much better thing than they had back there. And so we want to continue in our worship and our honor of him today. Shall we kneel in prayer?